Our study tonight is out of the book of Daniel, chapter 10, one of the most enigmatic and informative chapters in all of Scripture. God's encouraging insight on the angelic conflict behind the nations. We believers living in a spiritually decaying, godless culture need to live affirmatively in victory over sin. Daniel, as a young man, was taken captive by godless Babylonians, and he lived through Persia's conquest of Babylon, righteously and wisely serving the Lord in a godless culture as a great example for us. So we view Daniel 10, 1-21, and God's encouraging insight on the angelic conflict behind the nations for our insight. I'd like to read the chapter. It's just 21 verses and look at it. Daniel chapter 10, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood it, and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh or wine into my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that would be the river Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also like the beryl, and his face was the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet were in the color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned into me into corruption, and I regained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep or a trance on the ground, and my face was toward the ground. Behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make you understand what shall befall your people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said unto him that stood before me, My Lord, by the vision my sorrows have turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remains no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. And he came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. And he said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know wherefore I come unto you? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holds with me in these things but Micah your prince. Also in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. This is incredibly informative in regards to what is going on in troublesome times in the world. The Daniel 7-12 visions describe the challenges God's people would face after Daniel's era under future godless empires until the arrival of Christ's kingdom. Much of these challenges are fueled by the angelic conflict that wages behind the scenes, and a glimpse of this is given for God's people in Daniel chapter 10. 1-21 for their insight. Now God could have arranged for this angel to come to Daniel immediately, but he saw fit to allow the battle to occur for 21 days, 3 weeks, and then the Lord arranged for Michael to go over and help withhold the evil demon he was fighting so he could be free to come and help Daniel. So There's a reason for that, and it's very revealing. We view that insight for our edification as follows. In the third year of Cyrus, Daniel had a vision on a great conflict that Israel would face. Now, the Hebrews had begun to return to Babylon in the first year of Cyrus, so the vision shattered any hope that the prophet might have had that Israel would enjoy her new freedom and her peace for a very long period of time. Remember, in the theology of the Old Testament saints at this time, after the Babylonian captivity was the kingdom. They didn't know about a time expanse that was very, very long. They had no feeling for that. Well, Daniel was elderly. He was in probably his late 80s at this time, and he had not returned to Israel due to his age and due to his duties in the Persian government. The travel to go from Babylon to Israel, you're looking some desert travel. It would be pretty hard on a person in their 80s. And also Daniel was still working in the Persian court there. So he had asked God in prayer for greater insight on his people's future that had such a great conflict. He had had this vision. He understood it was a vision of conflict, but he wanted some details in regards to it. And the fact that his people were going to be facing conflict, even though they're going back into the land, bothered Daniel immensely. However, Daniel's answer to prayer was delayed, and he mourned and fasted for 3 weeks, 21 days. Here's a man who wanted answer to prayer on something that troubled him, and it was put off for 21 days. That's quite a bit of time. Now, at the end of 3 weeks, he was by the Tigris River with some associates when an angel from God appeared to him in great glory. Daniel's associates did not see the angel, but his mere presence caused them to tremble and flee, leaving Daniel alone with him. Can I just stop here and indicate something? This is not Satan. Satan is the most powerful angel that God created. He was the cherub that apparently was overriding the throne itself, and there were four others. And this is just one of the, we believe, probably was Gabriel. But this is Gabriel demonstrating in his power. And the very presence of this angel was so affecting the other people, they didn't see anything, but they were, the very presence of this spirit being caused them to tremble and they fled. And of course, Daniel was left here with him. So it shows these beings are very, very powerful. Satan is extremely powerful. And for us to try to take him on or tell Satan what to do, that's you're running into trouble. The Bible tells us always to pray to God, to trust in God. Then God crushes Satan under our feet. We can't do it. I know there are many Pentecostals who say, Satan, get thee behind me. That's because Jesus could say that. But Jesus is the Son of God. That's different. You know, being God, he can tell Satan what to do. We can't. We don't have that authority. So it's very dangerous to fool with the angelic world. So Daniel was left alone with him. And the presence of this powerful angel sapped Daniel's strength. The sound of his voice, like that of a multitude of people, caused him to end up on his face in a deep trance. The voices of the angels and God is often likened to that of the sound of many people or great waters. I remember we visited the Niagara Falls one time, and you talk about the roar. You could hear the roar from some distance away, but when you're right up close to it, you know, within 50 feet of it, it's just absolutely deafening. It's devastating. It's powerful. You can feel it. The sound moves right through the body. And that's essentially what Daniel was experiencing. And it caused him to end up on his face in a deep trance. Just the sound of this angel's voice. So in a series of stages, Daniel was strengthened and enabled to stand up by this angel. And he explained that God had sent him to clarify the vision to Daniel when he had first begun to pray about it. However, this powerful angel had been in conflict with an opposing powerful demon behind the king of Persia until the archangel Michael, a chief prince, had come to help him so that he could continue on his mission from God to explain the vision to Daniel. Now, we know that Michael, the archangel, is the particular archangel whose primary function is protecting the nation Israel from being annihilated. He's a very powerful angel, and we know that Michael got into a conflict with Satan in the book of Job, and he dared not slander Satan or anything, but he told Satan that the Lord rebuke you. But Michael is nevertheless a very powerful angel, and during the Great Tribulation, Michael will stand up in defense for the existence of Israel and keep Israel from being annihilated from the earth by the Antichrist. So you can only imagine the amount of angelic conflict that's going to be occurring in the Great Tribulation. Well, the angel said that the vision predicted that the latter days of Israel, and being informed of this sobering truth, Daniel faced downward, unable to speak, in great depression and shock. Another angel touched Daniel's lips, enabling him to speak. And when Daniel stated that the sorrows of the meaning of the vision still hindered him, the angel had to touch him again, strengthening him. Daniel was a sensitive man. He was a very godly man, but he was very sensitive, and he loved his people. And to get this vision and series of visions that Israel was going to face a lot of sufferings in the future bothered him intently. Well, the original angel twice told Daniel that he was greatly beloved of God. He tells him that in verse 11, O man greatly beloved, and he's beloved of God. He tells him then in verse 19, O man greatly beloved. And that's one reason why God was revealing these truths to them. He was a man who was deeply loved, so God the Father was showing him this information. And so if God reveals truths to us, especially through his word, that's always a good sign. It's a special gift from the Lord that he is doing that. He's bothering to do that for us. The angel then explained that he had yet to return to fight against the powerful demon behind the king of Persia, and that later he would fight against the powerful demon behind the king of Greece. Nevertheless, at that moment, he would inform Daniel of the details of the vision he'd seen, information taken out of the Book of Truth that includes information that is in excess of what we have in our Bible, but that is apparently available to the heavenly angels. This demonstrates to us that not all truth of God has been revealed to us. There's some truth that the angels know that we don't, but God has revealed to us truth that he feels that we can use and we can need. Well, the angel added that only Michael, the angel of Israel, who would also be Daniel's own major angel as a Jew, stood with him in his angelic conflicts, and that he had been a help to Darius the Mede in his first year. And remember, Darius the Mede was the one with Daniel in regards to the Daniel and the lion's den, and he got Daniel to come out of the lion's den, and he was helpful. So Daniel was informed of a huge, powerful war in the spiritual realm behind the nations. This whole chapter is demonstrating that. You have powerful demon behind the king of Persia, powerful demon behind the king and the kings of Greece. There have got to be powerful demons today behind the leaders of the nations of the world that we have. And that can help explain some of the stuff that we see that's going on. You wonder, you see these leaders, they'll do something, and you wonder, what in the world are they possibly thinking? Well, there are forces, there are spiritual forces that are involved in that. And there are also godly angels that are seeking to offset. And God allows things to occur and to develop. But there's a tremendous power, there's a tremendous war that is occurring right now behind the political scene. This is why politics is so extremely limited. And what we can do, human beings, as humans, is extremely limited in regards to world powers. There are forces that are way beyond human power that are at work. And the best thing that we can do is pray. And we need to do that. So the lesson is, through a prolonged delay to an answer to his prayer, Daniel was informed by a great angel from God, whose mere presence overwhelmed his human strength, that a vast, great angelic conflict exists behind the rulers of the world's nations, affecting the experiences of God's people on the earth. So in application, may we realize that behind the events we view or face in today's world, very powerful angelic beings, both good and evil, are locked in enormous conflict. Thus, like Daniel, may we cleave to God in faith and prayer instead of trying to solve the world's problems in our own efforts. The battle we face is far too great for us to handle in our mere human strength. The battle belongs to the Lord. We must thus live by faith by Him, in Him. Remember, at this time, Daniel would have been a very influential man in the kingdom. He was pretty high up, probably second or third to the king. And this vision was given to him to demonstrate that he was not in any way capable of handling the powers that be. If he was second or third in the kingdom and he couldn't handle them, there's no way that you and I, who don't have any official capacity, can handle them. We need the Lord, and this is why we need to pray. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy to pray for the leaders that are over us and pray that we might live a peaceable life in all godliness, that the gospel can spread and that the church can have liberties and to have freedoms to continue to minister and function, which is the will of God, because God does want the world to hear about the gospel, and the gospel is presented mainly through the ministry of the church. Although the Spirit does work independent of the church, according to Revelation, the last chapter in Revelation, but the Lord seeks to use the church. So it's very, very important that we be in prayer. This also shows that don't be surprised if you run into angelic conflict even within the church. Because if Satan could have his way, he would love to get within the church itself, the local churches, and create problems there. And if he has put tares within local churches, guess what? He's going to use them to the nth degree too. So this is why it's always good to be in prayer. Paul says praying for all saints everywhere, praying within our local churches, praying for church people in other churches, praying for pastors, board leaders. We really need to be mindful of the fact that there's an angelic conflict that we're dealing with, and we need to function accordingly.